sizden borçlar almış ve tehlikeyi anlıyoruz. Sizin yolculuğunuzun borcunu...
Hey Mr. Dockridge, okay, should we, okay, we will go ahead with the Honorable Mr. Johnson was scheduled to conduct this hearing. However, he has a medical situation this morning, and this hearing will be conducted by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. So we will begin just as soon as she is ready to get started. So,
Okay, Mr. Dalglish?
Yes.
So just to start the hearing, could you please restate your name and your ADC number?
Alex Dalglish, ADC number 04041.
Okay, thank you, sir. And Mr. Dalglish, we have to make one call and get an individual on the line. So just hold on just a little bit longer.
This morning, so we'll get ready to start the hearing, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse will serve as the lead panelist for this hearing. So we will begin as soon as the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse is ready to begin the hearing. And thanks so much for your participation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so back to you, Mr. Dalglish. This is a hearing for general parole, which is 412A, home arrest or absolute discharge today. And you became eligible for this on March 31st, 2005. Okay, we also have in the room, we have two individuals who are friends of you, Mr. Dalglish. We have Martin Jones and Tom Good in the room, okay. And also in the room we have Ms. Raymond. Oh, Ms. Raymond must be on the way. I think there was somebody that was on the way. So she will be here. And on the phone we have Ms. Thomas for this hearing. I'd like to introduce the members of the board to you, Mr. Dalglish. If you look on the video screen to your right, is all the way at the end of the bench is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. As Dr. Wright said, I'll lead the hearing today. And I believe it's Ms. Raymond? Okay, good. Thank you. So now we have everyone here. Thank you all very much. Mr. Dalglish, I'll start with a little review. It looks like you're 65 years old, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're serving, at this point, you're serving 25 years to life for the crime of murder of first degree. And that occurred on April 1st, 1980, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and how old were you at that time when the murder occurred?
I was 27 years old.
You were 27? Okay. And you were convicted by a jury trial on November 4th, 1980, and sentenced on December 2nd, 1980. Is that correct as far as you remember? Seems about right, okay. And you also had, I look in your past, you also had served a four-year sentence for possession of narcotic drug and a one-and-a-half-year sentence for possession. It must have been, were you possibly growing? I couldn't tell exactly, that the crime is kind of abbreviated on the screen.
No, I think possession of marijuana.
Possession of marijuana, okay. Mm-hmm. And but those have expired. You've completed those sentences. Those are done in history.
Yes.
Okay. It looks like in as far as criminal history, you had a probation in your, as a juvenile, but it wasn't really clear in your record what that was for. I wasn't sure. And then in 1975, there was at least an arrest. I'm not sure if there was a conviction for a conspiracy to distribute heroin. Does that seem right? And then 1980, there was a marijuana possession.
The juvenile one was
joyriding. Oh, joyriding. Oh, okay. Okay. Nothing. No. No drug involvement. Or were you using drugs as a juvenile?
Not yet.
Not
smoking pot.
Right. Okay. All right. And it looks like in prison, your discipline history, you've had, I counted up 20 majors, but your last discipline was in 2012, March 28, 2012, and that was positive or refusal to submit a UA, and that was a major. Can you tell us what was that one about?
I had just gotten back from a parole violation, and I got loaded, and
okay. Okay, and yeah, the timing is right for that. Okay. Okay, and you've had several hearings before, let me see, I think there may be too many to count here. Several hearings before the board, so yeah, so you know how the drill goes here. And I see that you've been granted release a couple of times. You were granted home arrest and then ultimately it looks like general parole in 2006. But in 2009, you were returned to custody. It looks like you absconded. What happened that time?
I didn't get the parole department's permission to change my address, and so they attached absconding to it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it is, as you know, important to stay in touch with your parole officer. Then it looks like you were also then granted, that was October of 2009. And then the next year, about a year later, the board again granted you home arrest in November of 2010. But then by November of 2011, you were also violated again, and that time it was for cocaine use. Do you remember this? Okay, but you were using heroin then, you say?
Well, yes, a couple of times.
Okay. All right, sir. It looks like your release plans, you have barber skills, and I see you've been working as a barber in the prison some of the time. And your plans are to go to church on the street. Is that true, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think we have a big packet, but I think I saw a letter in here from Church on the Street that is an an acceptance. Okay. Okay. I'm sure I okay. Yeah. I know I saw it in here somewhere, but we have a lot of papers. Okay. I'm sorry.
It is current also. I just stress that because I had a one that was good for the duration of my stay, and the last hearing.
Okay, so that would still be your plan to go to the church on the street?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Looks like you've done a little bit of programming too. You've done according to what we have here, you've been thinking for a change, some substance abuse treatment possibly, and then HVAC, probably like HVAC maintenance or repair and custodial work, custodial technology as well. Any other programs that we didn't have here?
There's a list that includes the certificates that you got us.
Oh, okay.
Some of them is a copy of the general, and some of them we get into for.
Okay.
Both certificates for battlefield and mine, and let's see.
I see AA here. Do you go to AA?
Non-stop hours.
Okay, yeah, I do see that here, AA and NA.
And some of those didn't get in, I think it was in the school system, that you have used for verification because we did not inform a certificate, so they know their uses. And some of the stuff didn't get in with the names.
Right, okay. So you've been pretty active program-wise then, you say?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. All right, Mr. Dogwish, I'll just say briefly, the crime involved a shooting of a man at, I think it was a trailer park in Tucson.
Phoenix.
In Phoenix, okay, and you thought this man had stolen $1,000 from you. Could you tell us more about what happened? What was the crime?
I shot a little friend of mine last week with the reason that I see at least two bandits in the process, especially Johnny's family. I also took Johnny Romero's daughter from his son and from all the blackhead off of John. But the actual crime itself was drug deal not bad. A couple of acquaintances, and I gave Johnny money by the restaurant. And Johnny went along to purchase the drugs, and then in return, he decided to go find Johnny to recover the money. Upon finding him, District 3-1-2-4, that being me, overreacted to Johnny's apparently reaching for the money he was after me. And thinking it was coming up with a gun instead, I shot him. Overreacted, I shot and killed him.
Okay, and you said you were 27 at the time then when that happened.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, so, and were you on probation or parole at the time of the offense?
Yes, for that federal offense of aiding and abetting distribution of heroin.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anyone have a question thus far? Okay. Mr. Dogwish, I'm going to invite your supporters to come up if you'd like. Did you want to speak? Okay. If you'd come up to the podium here. Just state your name for us.
My name is Martin Jones.
Okay, thank you. And what would you like to tell the board?
Well, I've spoken at many of these, many of these hearings over the years. I'm on Alex since high school. And Alex was released to my home as his release situation was from his murder rap, and stayed at my house for a year and a half, I don't recall. Time frame. At any rate, you know, during that time, I had said to Alex, you know, do you want to hook up with any old friends, meet anybody? He said, absolutely not. Don't want to go there. I've got to stay on the straight and narrow here. And he did real well. And I'm not going to say that it was because of us, but because he separated himself from potential problems. During the time he was at my house, he got his barber's license and he went to work for a barber and not just appeared to be doing well, he was doing very well. He was being productive and and staying out of trouble. I did bring a little note from the barber he worked for, and just so you know, the gentleman speaks very broken English. He's Russian.
Oh.
And so I went and talked to him. He told me what he wanted to put in the letter. I typed it, brought it back. He signed it. So at some point, I can give this letter to
you. You could do that, or you could read it on the record, however you'd like to do it. Because if you read it to us, we'll have to keep it.
Well, that's fine. You can keep it. But at any rate, it just says that it says my name is Yuri, and I'm the owner of Manor Barber Shop. My own reasons, I'm dictating these words to Martin Jones so he can put them in print. I hired Alex Daggers to work for me in the early 2000s, and he did so for, I believe, 3 or 4 years. Alex told me of his prison sentence for murder during his job interview, and because I feel that one should not be judged on past mistakes, I gave him a job. Alex turned out to be a very good barber, and in time a trusted employee, often opening and closing on his own. My customers were happy with their haircut and seemed to enjoy conversation while in the shop. Alex was always a good representative of Manor Barbershop. I want you to know that because Alex has always treated my customers and me with respect, I would without hesitation rehire him as soon as he is able to work. So
okay.
I'll give this to
you. That's great. Sure, that's fine. You can bring it up if you'd like to bring it up.
Sure.
That's fine. Thank you. Mark it, put it in the packet.
You know, in my past times that I stood up here and spoke, I've just kind of said that I wanted Alex to do well. And I've heard, comment from you folks and comment from the Romero family. And I understand people's position. But one of the things I've been baffled by is that it appears that because Alex was forgiven for the murder of John by the Romero family, which was a very nice thing to do, that it appears that people feel that he is not ever, ever be able to give it another chance. And I've mentioned the story about a friend of mine's dad that I was friends with him from like third grade on. I still see him. And this guy's dad was really an incredible, nice gentleman. The dad that everyone wanted. He was the guy that, took us to the movies. Hey, you boys hungry? I'll make lunch for you. But we would go out and play. 2 hours later, we'd come home, and he'd be drunk. And he'd be the most foul, horrible person you'd ever met in your life, wanting to fight, fourth graders. And then 3 hours later, he'd wake up and say, hey, didn't you guys want to go to the movies? And so, it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. And this is a guy that crashed cars forever, for 30 years. He was doing this, and he had support. And for various reasons, he couldn't kick it. And finally, he did. And so, I'm suggesting that Alex can do this. He has, since he's been back in, he has suggested the import of staying attached to a program, and that he realizes now that he should have never strayed from AA, that he should have gotten a sponsor. Which, and I have a friend that's been heavily involved in AA-type programs, and he tells me that, number one, you get a sponsor, because you have a problem, you go to your sponsor. And in time, you become a sponsor, because now you're accountable to someone. And in time, you start actually having meetings on your own, you have home meetings, and because the more involved you are, the greater potential you have for success. And this gentleman, a friend of mine, he's been doing this for 31 years. He still has home meetings, and he says he doesn't think he could not do it because of the import of being involved. So Alex has suggested several hearings ago that he knew that he could never stray from an association. And I'm not trying to find fault with the board, but someone on the board said that they were a little shocked that Alex was leaning on an association, and that they thought it was odd that he didn't think he could do this on his own. And I was taken aback by this, because I thought this was the whole focus on a 12-step program, is attachment and activity in the program. So, Alex has gotten involved in Church on the Street, and which is a religious organization. I know during my conversations with Alex on the phone, I talk to him once and sometimes multiple times a week on the phone, He's heavily involved in, you know, religion, reading scriptures. We, although I'm not a religious person, we have, you know, discussions about religion and the value that, that he's getting from it. In some past hearings here, he's mentioned Church on the Street, and he has mentioned what a rigorous, difficult program it is, and on occasion, the board has seemed like that they're not aware of this program in depth. One person said that they are aware of the program. They knew it was very difficult, and so I downloaded a little bit of stuff from it, from Church on the Street, and it says the first 6 months are an intense Christian boot camp with daily Bible classes, personal scripture assignments, physical training, Christian overcomers class, outreaches to the poor, homeless, church services, and a structured accountability. The second 6 months, phase two, is designed to provide advanced life skills and work preparation, allowing for part-time employment after 90 days. Spiritual training continues with classes, church services, and accountability. Phase three, a year-long ministry track, which disciples can focus their gifts and skills to serve one another of our many outreach programs. So this is a two-year program. And, you know, if someone can go through a program and gain some skills and gain the support to kick their problem, which Alex's problem has been heroin, then it seems to me that, you know, maybe they are sincere and should maybe be given the opportunity. Now, talking about being sincere, on three different occasions, I've called and talked to Alex at CO3s. So many years ago, since he's been back in, I talked to CO3 Gans, and I said, I know you see a lot of people and you talk to them, and I'm sure you get a lot of lip service. How do you rate Alex? Is he sincere or is he just talking? And she says, no, I've seen a huge change in his whole demeanor. I believe he's serious. Since then, I've talked to another, and she gave me the same. About a month or 2 months ago, I called and talked to his current CO3, and I'm sorry, I don't have her name. But her response was that she couldn't tell me a whole lot about Alex because he's never been in trouble, and that she didn't have any other real evaluation of him other than he comes in and gets tithing forms to send tithing into Church on the Street. And that was her only association with Alex. So I'm just suggesting that it's possible that he has changed, that he can be productive, that maybe he can be forgiven again for going back to heroin. You know, maybe this time he can do it. And I'd like to see him be productive. That's about all I have to say.
Okay. Let me see if any board members have any questions for you. Okay, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Please state your name.
My name is Tom Good.
Thank you.
I'm a friend of Martin's and also Alex. I as well have known Alex since high school. And I just wanted to say that I think that, you know, that Alex has a lot of community support in the sense that he has a plan to go to Church on the Street, which, you know, Martin just went over. And he also is, you know, he's a barber, so, you know, he can, when he gets done with the program, he has a way to support himself. And, you know, he has friends like Martin and I that can help him out, so he has a lot of community support, and I just think that, you know, along with what Martin said, which I agree, I would just think that he should be given a chance to, you know, get back into society because of that, I just think he should be given another chance. Because I think he has, you know, I just think he has it together with the program, the fact that he has the barber skills, and the fact that he has good friends like us, you know, he should, you know, be given a second chance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Good? Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Delvish, at this time I'm going to ask the the representatives of the victims, so maybe we'll start with Ms. Thomas. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay. What would you like to tell the board, and start by stating your name, I'm sorry, for the record.
That's okay. My name is Brandy Romero Thomas, and just to give you some insight on who I was one of the three children at 800 East Highland, where the Board of Homicide was committed.
Okay.
John David Romero was my uncle. He was my 21-year-old uncle, and he was there picking me, my brother, and my sister up on a bleak sitter, and when he was shot to death. My biggest concern in all of this is his behavior when he was released before. Our family did forgive Alex for what he did. Just because there's forgiveness doesn't mean that there's healing. This is a lifelong occurrence, something that we've had to live with. I'm 44 years old. Something I've had to live with. Something I had to let my children know about, because we were a tight-knit family. It wasn't just an uncle. He was like my dad. And I just feel that after giving him the chance to prove himself in society, he failed. And I feel like that for me to say, oh, let's do it again, let's give him one more chance, and something terrible happens, that's something that I could not live with. And I wasn't the board either. So to me, this isn't about forgiveness. This is about protecting other people. I feel like it's just, he's a risk to society. He, not only when he was out, but he did have problems with drug use. He had problems with an altercation, a physical altercation of someone over a floor jack that he bought at a yard sale that didn't work. So to me, that tells me that, you know, he's a bit. And I just, you know, that's my standing on it. I've given my permission for him to have the ankle monitor, not permission, I'm sorry, support to have the ankle monitor removed at one point, and I regret that. So for me, I don't live a life full of regret. I move forward. I'm a Christian woman, and I do forgive him for what he's done to my family. Today would be my uncle's 59th birthday. That's very ironic. And I just, you know, 21 years old, to have his life taken away from not only our family, but his two children. And, you know, we do have forgiveness to a certain extent, but we don't forget. And we don't forget the things that were done when he was out on leave. And that's just my standing.
Okay, Ms. Thomas, thank you very much. Do board members have questions for Ms. Thomas? Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate your participation today. I think we'll move to our other victim representative. Welcome, and please state your name.
Laura Raymond.
Thank you.
I am the step-niece to Johnny Romero. Brandy is my sister. Sorry, it's always hard.
Okay.
Speaking in public and being here every 6 months. So, I think as my sister said, we can forgive. We will not forget. I think Mr. Dadlish forgets the pain that he has caused to an enormous amount of people in this family. He lacks acknowledgement in his actions, and he is full of excuses. It is always somebody else's fault for what he did. It was because Johnny stole from him. That's why he shot him and killed him. He will never give you the full, honest truth of what happened that day. He won't tell you that he chased him down, stood over him, shot him, that he planned it beforehand. It just happened in Mr. Dadlish's mind. When he was let out, we forgave him. We stood out on these steps. We said, we wish you well. Please follow the rules. Do whatever you can. Get in a program. He did it. We were back here not many years later because he has a problem with drugs. He can't get himself clean. He was let out again, and he went to a yard sale, bought a $2 item. It didn't work. So what did he do? He went to the victim's home and assaulted them. So we're talking about a person who ends up on drugs, feels wrong, and then attacks somebody. This isn't going to change. He can get into church on the street, but he needs to want it for himself. And I think in the day and time that we are in, we are in a very serious crisis with opioid epidemic. And if he couldn't do it for himself after 30 years, he's not going to be able to do it now in the way our world is. I will tell you that on the 30th, if you could call it anniversary, we were here of the murder of Johnny. And he couldn't even tell you what the day was. What happened that day? Does this sound like somebody who has learned from his mistakes? So I will honor whatever you guys decide, but I just don't feel that he's rehabilitated, and I don't think he ever will be. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Thank you so much. Okay, Mr. Dogrish. There's been a lot of testimony about you and how you were then and how you are now and what's different. I'd like to hear from you. How do you feel you're different? Why? Since you were let out 2 times previously and were returned for your own behavior, why should this board consider letting you out again? What's different about you?
I guess I should start with why I've been so slow and mature. If you don't mind, I'd like to read you a little passage, a very short, brief passage from one of my poetic studies. It's called Childhood of a Lazy Mind.
Okay, Mr. Dogrish, I'm just going to ask you one thing. Could you speak up just a little bit? It's really hard to hear you. If you could talk just a little bit louder. Thank you.
Is this being heard now?
A little better.
Okay, so it needs more volume then. Okay, so this song, this great passage of the child with a lazy mind, and I quote, he was a normal intelligent that did not want to learn. Instead, going to school, he did not. Would you be happy for a child? Of course not. If the child were mentally ill, then you would be no patient. If the child were willfully ignorant and inactive, then it would be right to be upset. That's the end of the quote. But the implication here is that this, in this example, is that no parent would ever let their child, let that happen to their child. And it did happen to me. The only difference between me and this child was I happened to swallow all of that teeth, but I was still willfully ignorant. So I'm young, completely ignorant, without any social skills, and extremely mature, and I was right for the drug world. And it's been a very long process coming back to becoming a human being. And I mean that in the highest sense, someone marked by compassion, sympathy, and consideration for others. So, okay, so I've been killing my friends out of the world. We don't have a lot of sleep, but it's still a long, growing process, and I can turn it over to physical feelings and everything. And since I've been working on my family, since then, I've been working on not defending anyone else in any way, but I'm working as a human being. Briefly touching on that assault that I was charged with that was brought before this morning. Are you hearing that now?
Yes, thank you.
My first mistake was thinking I could get away from the yard sale. And I was a little certain about it, and the father of the house that ran out of the house and assaulted me. I had pictures of him on the board about with that and found that there was no violation that existed. I would like to say that the Cobra County Attorney's Office under the direction of the also conservative Andrew Thomas, will not have let a river run on the south because if there was anything to that issue, he would have tried that case. She does a lot of work with the former Cobra County Attorney Andrew Thomas.
Mr. Dole, can I just interrupt you just briefly? When you said I was a little assertive, can you describe what you were doing? What did you do?
Well, I went down and asked the money, he said, no, I can further return the money. I brought the job back and I asked for a further return of my money because the job was broken. And he said, no, I said, well, why not? And we were, I'm not that kind of assertive, just like throwing out the money, but I said, just assertive. I should have been there. There was one of those work lessons learned in life. But I'm the one that got assaulted. We had pictures in front of the board. It was also stated that I had broken my arm at that scene, assaulting a person. Well, I came to the scene with my arm, came out of the gas, put it in his hand, and that vote, that fact can be checked out by that from Phoenix Baptist Hospital.
Okay, sir. Well, we're not here to retry all of that. So,
I'm going to go ahead and name it in the county. Yes. And she's getting one, recovery program, and I'm not allowed to keep that. Because I'm not a prior owner of a laptop. They see a three some state saying I'm not going to the program. Anyway, they want great program to have it, but then you know, I have children and I've got certificates and everything. The program wanted to continue participation in KO trust NA trusted program. As well as any other non-spiritual program. And the last two things that were the most important that I would do is to make to ensure that I'm remaining focused and not relapse. So it's either currently a discipline structure of some sort. The first two years of your two-time speed, which can be extended out as long as possible, as long as they issue new options. So I would that might be the place I'm at. And later on down the line, there's a variable time, if you need community service, something that I get very joy out of this time needed to give back to the community. I've done it before, I love it, it was great. That's in the record too. This discipline structure at this point, by two-time students, is where I would be held accountable. Keep me from even straying with my thoughts over there. And of course, I will continue growing and maturing as a Christian, which is a great way to beneficial to the community.
Okay, may I ask you something? And that is, you're saying then that the last time you used drugs was when you were violated, when you were at home arrest?
No, it was a month after I got back in prison on this six years, 8 months ago.
Okay, so it was after you got back. It was after you got back to prison and there were drugs available there in the prison?
Well, of course there were, yes.
Right, no, we know that, but I mean, you took advantage of them.
I had a couple bars and I was really depressed and so I was
Right. But you're saying you've not used drugs since then?
Absolutely not. And I have no desire to go to the shoe that I stay focused like that. I have these 8 steps of programming, especially where we all accountable. At Church on the Streets, or whatever program, it always be a religious space thing, really. I'm pretty sure I'll just be staying at Church on the Streets. I'm 65 now.
So you say you're very active in AA?
Yes, ma'am.
Which step are you on?
Well, I'm working on that, especially with later steps where you get inventory, you're getting inventory. The one I've had a problem with was step 3, determining my will and my right way of God. That one was the stumbling block, and it's not about me anymore, it's about others. And love for others.
Okay, so I'm going to see if board members have it. Mr. Quinones has a question for you.
Thank you, Ms. Inhouse. Mr. Dalglish, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
I just kind of want to have a short dialogue with you. As one voting board member, I think this is a great challenge in cases such as these. And that is when someone has been released from incarceration more than once on supervised release, and has had issues with drugs, I think personally, an issue that gets often overlooked is, I think you and I can both agree that drug trafficking is a violent world. I mean, it's the reason why you have a life sentence in the first place. For someone to fall off the wagon, so to speak, when they've been given more than one chance, and it involves hard drugs, that means that they had to re-interface with that same violent world. It's not, what I'm getting at is, I think we create a world in which there's criminal justice and public health and drug bombs become a health issue, but to get drugs, to get access to drugs, is to re-interface with a violent world, a violent criminal world. So I want to know how you feel about that, because when you use drugs again, when you are on community supervision, when you are on parole, you have to get them from someplace. And what we often hear is, I got them from a friend. I don't buy that anymore. People get drugs by paying for them, from drug dealers, who are 10 times out of 10 violent. So what are you going to do to separate yourself from that world?
Once I stay in my growing and maturing as a Christian, and there was, and they were going to have to be held accountable, we can't be a hypocrite and expect to have are you able to do?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if someone's going to be into a violent area where we just store drugs, that's a real possibility. And I've been blessed not being robbed or shot or whatever, trying to get somebody. I can go right in the sun slope, which is a big use area. And I've been blessed in that regard. But I do know that you also take into consideration that for someone to relapse and develop new drugs, there's usually going to be criminal behavior, which can include violence or thereby the drug user. And I understand that, so that's why I feel this very seriously.
Thank you for your response, Mr. Dalglish. Appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Reynolds.
Any other questions from board members? Okay. Chairman Ray has a question for you.
Sir, you have mentioned several times that you plan to, if you were released or when you were released, to go to a church on the streets. Well, when the last time you had direct or indirect contact with church on the streets, sir?
Well, by mail?
Yes, sir. By mail or by phone? Yes, sir.
I have to be accepted with them, but that's the only time I've spoken to them. I've spoken to them via mail every month. They pass the welfare right back on occasion. Thank you for tithe and encouraging me. But I'm
allowed to call them regularly. So you said regularly. So when the last time you had actual contact with them, whether by mail or in person or by telephone? 6 months ago or last week?
It's in the mail. I just recently sent another letter to them and passed away. I'm sure I'm not in He very much extends himself out to a family that looks after him. It contributes and writes a personal thank you mail. And I was receiving those last month.
Let me just follow up on this. Excuse me, go ahead, sir.
I write him every month, I tie him every month.
Did you indicate to church on the street, or representatives from church on the street, that she was coming before the board today, sir?
Yes.
And I don't see anyone in the room from Church on the Street. Now, I raised that issue. I know it was stated that board might not be have knowledge of Church on the Street, but I think that each of the board members in one way or another quite familiar with Church on the Street. That's nothing new for us. And I speak for myself. It's definitely nothing new for me. And the reason I asked the question about Church on the Street, because from time to time, they actually send persons, their representatives, to appear before this board. And I just don't see anybody here from Church on the Streets today. Any particular reason you think they did not come today, sir?
I had asked him not to have the acceptance into the church. But I didn't want to come up here to tell you how your support is. And what I'm facing and what I'm doing. And also the fact that if you're violating the rules, they will convert you to a probation officer immediately. And that's what I was going to do. Because, you know, besides my filing number, you know, there's a lot of people who are critical of issues running around. And he's going to, and I asked him to be pretty those others and see it and let me throw myself in the room. So you were just going to come over and speak for the church itself or whatever it is.
Let me just ask one other question, I think, sir, because I think this is time number 7 for me seeing you, or possibly 7 times that I've seen you. And I know that, as you pointed out, that it's been, what, since 2011, I was not here then, but since 2014, I think that you've been before this board on 7 different occasions since 2014. How can you convince me as a board member that I should vote to place you back on parole or house arrest or anything in as much as you violated the trust that this board placed in you on 2 occasions? That may not seem very much, and I know they were not, you know, but day after day, but you violated. This board put trust in you. I was not on the board when this trust was placed in you. But this board, members at that time, they put trust in you. They said you could go out and have your freedom and liberty. In fact, I heard victims' family members saying that in fact they went out on a limb for you. So how do you feel? Why do you feel that we ought to give you another chance, sir, in your own words, not what you want, I want you to say, but in your own words, why do you think that I, as a board member, should vote for your probation again, sir?
Well, I would like you to give me the consideration my small growth in development through my immaturity. And I didn't really take seriously the possibility that I would relapse. I really wasn't thinking fully that I am not. I understand this. I'm asking you to rely on them. I fully understand that. But I've been addressing my, I finally got to dealing with my brokenness, my issues causing my relapse and my drug use. It's worse self-esteem and more happiness and other things. And I want you to know that, that being held accountable in the structured programming of the discipline structure that Church on the Streets is going to help me keep my focus. And I plan to never offend again on any level. And I do thank you for your time.
I want to thank you too, sir. Aside from your And this will be my last question at this time. Aside from your work with Church on the Streets, have you worked with any other groups, any religious groups, or any psychological groups, or any social groups to help you to understand your situation, sir, what happened over a period of time, and why you have evolved today that you feel that you would no longer create a problem again? Have you had any contact whatsoever with others aside from Church on the Street, which is an excellent group? I would say Church on the Street is a very, very good program. We're quite familiar with it. But, and I'm not putting them down, but I'm just wondering if you had any psychological training, any counseling, whatever, or you, any other group, sir?
Well, the bridges was one of the current program in here, as well as last over in the basins. And I will continue to get myself those programs out there. After the first 6 months, I think Church on the Street has you not done that at all. So whenever they allow that, I will avail myself to, of that. As well as mental health services, they have a great relapse prevention program. That's why if this is the first time I've really been aware of it, I contacted, there's a letter from Wisconsin and the television program telling me that they've got an array of services out there. I really avail myself that every little thing I can. That in my own program, the man who recovered the program here, I tried for a year to do that. It's not allowed to do what I thought. But I will do whatever it takes to stay on the straight and narrow at every 31 that I'm at, and especially my spiritual work.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir, for your time, and thank you so very much, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, for allowing me to ask those questions. Thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Douglas, one last question for you from me, and that is, what are your triggers for drug use? What makes you want to use drugs?
Boredom and fear of hunger. As long as I want to be around the one crowd, being but for the people who are too very personal ones, which I've got coping skills for those now.
Okay, that's the wrong crowd. We hear that one. We hear that quite often, as you might imagine. Okay, sir, we're coming to the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if you've thought of anything else. We just ask that you not repeat something you've already said. Is there anything else?
One of the things wanting to avoid the world of myself to continue to defend the John's family, I'm going to be able to believe our cause of the tragedy that I was in the family by every time we serve as well. I just want to say that I will stay on my little 8-month plan of keeping on the straight and narrow. If I'm serious and I'm at this and bringing it to the world, I think I'm beyond that now, but I'm not sure of that. But with staying focused and keep on dealing with my brokenness, however, whether it's a spiritual or a non-spiritual program, which I'm very aware of and stuff about, and including mental health services. And I would use the tools at my disposal for a video program if I have one, which I don't have anymore, but I have those tools available from psychological program. And of course, I continue the AA and NA for spiritual program. And then being held accountable by being a disciplined structure like Church on the Streets has done a few wonders. Plus, like I said, doing the community service, giving back and giving the money, that's a wonderful thing for my spiritual growth. And of course, I'm going to continue growing and sharing as a Christian. And I just want to thank you very much for your time. time.
All right, sir, thank you. I just want to make one more quick note for the record, and that is that we do have a letter from Maricopa County Attorney dated June 20th, 2018, and the Maricopa County Attorney's Office is objecting to any possible release of Alexander Dalglish. Just noted for the record. Now, Mr. Dalglish, you've been here before, so you know that the board goes into discussion, and we just ask that you remain silent, and we'll be right back with you. Okay, sir. All right, so the board is now in discussion. Mr. Dalglish, as one board member, I see Mr. Dalglish as a man who's, I think, starting to head down the right track. I think the Church on the Street program, which offers a lot of structure, is something that would be valuable to him. He has been, what troubles me is that he has been released on two other occasions, and both times violated. And not only that, but when he came back to prison after the second violation, he used drugs again when he got back to prison. So I think he's starting to turn a corner and head down the right path, but I'm still troubled by those things. But I'd listen to any input from fellow board members. Mr. Quinones.
I think I'm of a very similar mindset to Ms. Rittenhouse. I think one of the things that's disturbing to me is that when he was released on parole 200 times, he was 52 and 57 years old. The crime occurred when he was about 27 years old, so this is not one of those scenarios where it was a capital crime committed by a teenager. And I recognize what he's saying about maturity. I think we're all growing pretty much for the rest of our lives, or we continue to for the rest of our lives, but I don't have, or really the better statement, I think there's substantial reason to believe that he won't adhere to the conditions of supervision just based on past behavior. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments from board members? Mr. Neal, no. Dr. Wright?
Well, thank you. I concur with my two distinguished board members. I think that, yes, to be sure, he's made progress. I think we all make progress over a period of time. There's no question about it. He's a different person now that he's, I believe, age 65, and he would have been when he was 27 or, when, or early along the way. However, one of my concerns, not only with Mr. Dutton, but with any time this board sees fit to permit someone to go out to give them their freedom, to grant it to them, and then they come back and violate, I always have concerns. I don't mean that at some point, if I'm on the board, that I may vote for him, but I think that at this particular time, yes, he's made progress, but I would like to see a little more progress before he would be granted parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. White. Then I'm going to make a motion, and my motion will be to deny 412A parole, 411, and home arrest. And because of the date of the crime, setting the next hearing off for 1 year is not an option to us, so the next hearing would be approximately 6 months as he's certified by the Department of Corrections. So that's my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, seconded by Mr. Quinones, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Neal. And release type denied 412A, 411, and home arrest. Reasons for denial. Serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim because of the way the shooting occurred, serious bodily injury, violated previous probation and parole as he was on probation at the time this occurred, a history of continued substance abuse. I won't say recent disciplinary infraction, although I just want to state for the record that it does concern me that he used drugs again after he came back from being violated. Needs closer supervision. I'm not going to to check for Lee's plan, because I think Church on the Streets is a good plan, and he's got friends here who I believe his friends would support him. So no matter what happens. And I will also not check no community support system, because he does have that. And they're here to support it, which we appreciate. So, Mr. Dalglish, you heard the board's decision was to deny today, and you heard the reasons for the denial. Do you have any questions for us, sir?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, and we thank you very much for participating in your hearing. We thank you, Ms. Thomas and Ms. Raymond. We thank you. And thank you to your supporters who are here. And this concludes your hearing, sir. If you put the CO3 back on the phone, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.